I still think about that because a lot of artists are like, we're either talking like in messages or they'll post about it, how like, oh, my manager made me make this video, or oh, I hate that I have to do this. I'm an artist. I should be making art, not focus on the social media side of it. And I will still say that is a very valid feeling. And I do feel that sometimes as well as an artist, but I love that part of being an artist. And I love that part of creating is like, not only do I get to create music, like I get to make cool stuff around that.
Welcome back to another episode of Successfully Unsigned. Today, DJ Patty G interviews a neon pop punk artist named LOL It's Leah. They had a great time in this casual interview, talking about things like urbanxing, early YouTube, what it was like going viral in college for singing Chandelier while she was at Elon University, musical theater and theater in general, which they both shared in common, and finally a heavier topic in the third segment of adoption and her going on the journey of finding her biological family. We hope you enjoy this episode, and as always, remember to like, share, subscribe, rate us on your favorite streaming platform, and let us know what you would like to see next on Successfully Unsigned. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram to stay up to date on all the new things that we're getting into.
Welcome to Successfully Unsigned. We are here with, oh my goodness, I'm so excited, y'all. We are here with LOL It's Leah. Welcome.
Hey.
This has been such a long time coming. I think you literally reached out to us back in like, it may have been like May or June.
It's been a year.
Literally almost a year.
That's how long it takes to like plan things nowadays.
You are booked and busy. So you'll have some good advice for us today.
Hopefully.
I have a lot of notes, so be prepared, y'all. But it's going to be a good one. I first just want to say that I literally redecorated my set today just for you, because I usually have different plushies up here, but I was like, let me find all my video game plushies. All of them are just Pokemon, but she loves video games. Yes. So, and specifically Nintendo. I do, however, have a lot of little like Mario action figures. So I literally set them up here, and I'm wearing my Mario shirt.
That's so thoughtful. I did notice your shirt the second I saw you. I got
Pokemon socks, a Pokemon necklace. So I don't know if you like Pokemon, but it's Nintendo, so it's close enough.
I didn't play Pokemon as much as I wanted to. I actually kind of was like a Yu-Gi-Oh girly for a while and like didn't get into Pokemon. Honestly, I watched the show a little bit, but I was like Mario, and then I recently just got into Zelda like 4 years ago. So
my guess.
I'm a little late to that game, but Nintendo, like anything, I love it.
We need to duel on Yu-Gi-Oh sometime. I love
Yu-Gi-Oh. If I remember how to play, played, but like, and they tried to teach me as I was growing up because I was really young when I got into it. But
my brother, we used to go to Toys R Us and do like, he would do tournaments. He was an amazing player. He was really good. He's very smart.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I was like, let me decorate just for her. I did include one little like internet reference because you watch YouTube.
I noticed that first, I think, out of everything.
Literally was obsessed with this.
Yes.
On repeat all the time. actually, yeah.
I should have brought my YouTube pillow. I have like one pillow literally on my thought bench.
YouTube. One thing that I have been telling Leah, we actually met back at her show a couple months ago. And I was like, you don't understand. I have stalked you through and through. Like your Instagram, your YouTube, your podcast. This girl has been on so many podcasts. And I have literally have questioned. I was telling her in the car. I was like, just keep in mind, I'm probably going to be like, so in January of 2021, you said this. Is this still true?
I don't even know what I said, so I'm excited to remember things,
it's
or maybe
be a good
don't.
One. It's gonna be a
maybe
good one.
Don't remember them. Okay, I don't know.
So safe to say, I am literally obsessed. Your music is so good. It always is blasting. Like I love it. I genuinely love it
Thank
so much. I'm so
you.
Excited for more music, yes. which we'll touch on at the end. But I'm just going to kind of go from the beginning from what I've gathered from different interviews and stuff. And we're just going to talk about it. So
yeah,
starting out, you kind of, your music beginnings, you sang in church growing up and you were a theater kid, choir kid, correct?
I was doing choir since like preschool. So
you may find this hard to believe, but I was a theater kid as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. I can definitely tell. Yeah. For sure.
What like shows were you in?
Oh my goodness. I'm trying to remember. I was in Beauty and the Beast, I think mm-hmm. twice. I was in The Little Mermaid. Oh my gosh. Now I'm like really tracking back to like high school. What's the one? No, I think that's Beauty and the Beast. I'm trying to think of what I had like leads in. Yeah, those are the ones that I can remember. Annie Jr.
Love
it. That was my first role in fourth grade. I remember that.
Yes, I am such a musical nerd, like through and through. So when I saw that, I immediately was like, we got to talk about that. Okay, but you were born and raised in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. We were just talking about Jersey Shore a little bit because she was there. She... Snooki cut her in line. Mm-hmm. I got my Snooki Cheez-Its up there. One day I might have to trek up to New Jersey with you.
Yes.
And get the full Shore experience.
It's a fun time. It really is. There's so much to do. There's so much good music in Jersey out of Jersey.
One thing that I noticed through your podcast, you talked a lot about, was it Asbury Park?
Asbury Park, yeah.
Yes. And you got to play Emo Night there. Was that?
Yeah, I did an Emo Night Brooklyn with Guns, who lives in Nashville now. He was hosting.
It was really cool to see, like, through so many podcasts, you're like, it would be my dream to perform there one day. And then you did.
Boom.
Which is so cool.
Well, there was like one year where when I was first starting to do the pop punk mm-hmm. stuff, like Full Swing, obviously always inspired by it. We'll probably talk about mm-hmm. that later. But I was like, I want to be on these emo nights. And so that was like my goal. And mm-hmm. I just set out for it. And mm-hmm. I just like kept landing them. And I want to do them again. I want to keep doing them. But I've obviously been working on stuff, which we'll also talk about. But
Emo Night, hit her up.
I did that.
Hit her up.
Please do.
Hit her up. So you've been writing music technically since fifth grade.
Yes.
And you said that in one interview that you still have the song. Would you ever release it?
I've been thinking about that so much. It'd be so fun to like show a song from when I was little that I was writing.
Even like a little YouTube video or something.
I know, like just like a throwback. Cause I would never, I feel like I've written stuff maybe the end of high school, like mm-hmm. early college that I would release today. It doesn't really make sense for what I'm doing today, but I think it's good enough to mm-hmm. do.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like I remember some of the words, like those songs in like fourth and fifth grade, and I have them like in notebooks. I would go through this phase where I was really into notebooks. So I would buy a new notebook like every couple of months and rewrite all of my lyrics. I don't do it anymore because I'm like all on my phone right now, you know, but as a child, like I would switch notebooks and rewrite every single song in every new notebook. And I did that for like 10 years of my life, which is,
oh my goodness,
does not make any sense because like if I had it written down one place, I should just leave it there. But I was like, this is my collection. I'm moving it to another notebook.
So would you throw out the old notebooks or you literally just like kept all of them with the same stuff in them?
I think I would like I would rip out the pages and crinkle them up if I made a mistake. So like that happened a lot in the old notebooks. And then I had OCD clinically diagnosed as a child. So like,
okay,
that was probably,
you know, I wasn't
going to
say anything, but I was like, wow, that really sounds like you may have had OCD.
That's a whole thing, but
we all have some mental illness. I feel like you can't be an artist without some, well, I don't know. This one doesn't. So, okay, so eventually you go to Elon. We're gonna
skip over to there.
You went there
experience.
For music production. Fun fact, she literally went to school with a friend of mine from high school, Jenny Tankasich. We talked about this through Instagram messages.
That's right.
So shout out to you, Jenny. Her brother literally was like in my grade. Like we were in theater together. She left the sweetest note in my yearbook. So shout out to Jenny and Elon. But you join an a cappella group during like the height of like Pitch Perfect craze, and y'all go viral for your Chandelier cover, which I think is like up to like 7 or 8 million views.
It's up there,
which is crazy. And you were running their social media at the time.
Yeah, I was just like transferring over, like learning basically how to run the social media from the previous like business manager. Mm-hmm. And so I was just like full swing up every night in the middle of the night at like just answering people being like, oh my gosh, this cover's amazing.
That is so cool. So what was that like getting almost like your first taste of like recognition.
Yeah, it was crazy. I mean, there was 20 of us in the group, like 15 at the time. So everybody's like absolutely losing their minds, texting each other. And like, there's a new opportunities being thrown at us like every day. The weird thing is because we were a college a cappella, like we almost had to like disassociate. We actually did have to like disassociate ourselves with the university for a little bit because we got so much recognition that like they tried to bring on people from the school and then we're like, let's step back because now we got to make this a separate entity because they're getting so much attention and TV shows wanted us. Like it was insane. And because we were still a college a cappella group, we didn't do any of it. So we weren't able to like,
that stinks. Y'all could have been in Pitch Perfect 3. Come on.
I know. It was really cool. I mean, I did get like opportunities like with American Idol afterwards. Like we all had a question about that opportunity, but like it didn't really go anywhere after that. But it was still like all that, like I was in college and all this like talk behind the scenes about like, oh, we want to put these like singers in front of like all these different television shows and like outlets and stuff like that. And yeah, like celebrities were like reposting us and like hitting us up on the socials.
Did Sia like say anything?
I can't remember if she said anything specifically, but her team did.
Okay.
And that's all I'll
say. Very cool.
Well,
Oh.
I guess it's cool if they like, you know, it's cool. I mean, she's definitely heard
any publicity is good publicity.
Yeah, it's we'll okay. Say that. It all worked out in the end. Everything was fine. Everyone was happy.
Do you still keep up with those people?
Oh, yeah. We have our 25th anniversary next in May. And right when I graduated college, she'll show my age, but I don't care. I like the year after was our 20th anniversary. So now that it's our 25th anniversary, I'll be coming back. Hopefully I'll be going back there and celebrating with everybody.
That's
in the group.
So exciting. Is it, are you guys, is your team specifically kind of like legends within the,
it's
specific
kind of okay. Like when I came back, like people that were in the group at the time were like, they were the ones in Chandelier. So it's like talked about, but
one of my best friends went to Elon. She's like, I literally remember watching that cover and it was part of the reason that I like wanted to go to Elon and like be a part of music and stuff.
Some people have said that. So the coolest part about that was I was just in the group. I had just joined the group that semester that we went viral basically. Or maybe it was a semester after, something like that. And the next year when we held auditions, people were like, we had an like a crazy influx of applicants, you know, people auditioning, and they would all say like, oh, I picked Elon because I wanted to audition for Twisted Measure. And after that, so that was really cool too, to experience that whole thing, like be in the heart of all of it as
and
it happened.
And then crush those children's dreams when they weren't good enough.
No.
Okay. So from that, you kind of start honing in on your social media skills and, you started like getting into graphic design, like you said, designing albums, stuff like that. Back in 2021, like I said, you said that social media doesn't really negatively affect you. Is that still true?
I still think about that because a lot of artists are like, we're either talking like in messages or they'll post about it, how like, oh, my manager made me make this video or, oh, I hate that I have to do this. I'm an artist. I should be making art, not focus on the social media side of it. And I will still say that is a very valid feeling. And I do feel that sometimes as well as an artist, but I love that part of being an artist. And I love that part of creating is like, not only do I get to create music, like I get to make cool stuff around that.
Yeah.
So I still see amazing benefits in social media. But I do, as time goes on and things grow, like I also understand the negative effects of it and how bad and toxic it can be for some people.
Yeah. I will say this, your Instagram, y'all go on her Instagram. It's literally LOL. It's Leah. And you have, if you even scroll back years and years and years ago, you have had like your different aesthetics through and through. Like you're very good at making it look very pleasing.
Thank you.
So teach us your ways because we're struggling out here and I know other artists are struggling. Like, do you have any like just good advice for those who are kind of struggling with their social media, especially artists?
I think some of the best advice that I've seen in the past and that I still do to this day is if you know an artist that is doing well on social media and you like their content, go on there and copy them and do what they're doing. If it's working mm-hmm. for them, it can work for you. But add your own like authenticity yes. to it. Like yes. be yourself when you're creating that content. Put your own stamp of your branding on there. But if something's working for somebody else, like all these little skits, like that Swayco was doing, like mm-hmm. everyone's doing them now and it's making other artists pop off. So like it's just someone started a trend and you just kind of gotta follow it if it feels true to you. But if it doesn't feel true to you, people yeah. can tell.
Yes.
And if you start copying other artists and you are not having a good time doing that and it's like a chore, people will tell.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Even through a phone screen, people can tell your authenticity. So that is kind of skipping ahead a little bit to this question that I have. But something else that you said in one of your interviews that I really, really like that you said this. You said that you don't really feel that you necessarily bring anything new to the table when it comes to your sound. And I really like that you said that because we talked about that on a podcast where, look, everything's been done under the sun. Mm-hmm. And you can make yourself unique, but sometimes you'll get artists who are like, we had a whole conversation about when you go to a label or anything like that, they're going to be like, okay, so who do you sound like? Mm-hmm. And if you're like, well, I don't sound like anyone. I'm my own sound.
No.
Like it's
hard. It's almost impossible. Like there's literally just so many people out there and so much music being made. Like I actually got this cool advice from somebody. I was just in a writing session the other day and they were like, yeah, copy that artist and their like one riff that they do, or like copy this guitar tone that they use. Like you're supposed to be inspired by other artists. And that's kind of what like you makes your sound. And I thought that was cool. Cause like, I was nervous. I was like, does this vocal melody sound too much like this song at this timestamp? Mm-hmm. And the producer was like, no, just do it. Who cares?
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. I just really appreciate your authenticity with that. And, you know, not trying to be like, oh, well, no, it's just me. Like, you're very open about who your inspirations are
yeah.
and who you like grew up listening to. And like, this is where XYZ comes from, but then still making it your own. And like, I would still say like you have your own very unique look and presence about you.
Thanks.
But at the same time, like, yeah, obviously everyone has inspirations mm-hmm. from something.
Yeah.
So, okay. So you kind of started doing a YouTube. I do want to touch on that a little bit. Mm-hmm. First off, we talked a little bit about YouTube. What YouTubers did you watch growing up?
Oh my goodness. I mean, growing up, like back in the day, I really liked, did you ever watch Super Mac 18?
No.
No, that's probably before your time. How old are you?
I'll be 26 later this year.
Yeah, I feel like I was like really young when, I mean, mm-hmm. now we're almost the same age. I'm 28, but still, I feel like that was so early on YouTube. Mm-hmm. I watched, obviously, Fred. That, like...
Look up there. Look up there. I literally almost put him on the couch. Top left corner on the three shelves.
On the... Oh! I didn't even recognize that. That's so funny. I was so focused on Snooki and this Cheez-Its.
Yeah, I know. Right about Snooki. Okay, if you want to see this item, go watch our recent episode on Battle of the Bands. It's in there. I literally have that shirt. I have the red shirt, the Fred shirt.
Oh my goodness.
And I literally made a whole TikTok of me like cosplaying as him, basically.
That's amazing.
Those toys are really hard to come by. And yeah. I'm not going to say how much I paid for that, but it wasn't cheap.
Where'd you get it?
Replay Toys in Murfreesboro.
Oh,
shout out to them. Yeah.
So do they have stuff that was old and that like they sell? Like
mostly are like newer,
not old, but like
they are, I know, but they are mostly newer collectors items, but they do have a little vintage section. And that was in there. And when I found wild. It was not super cheap, but it was way cheaper compared to like online. They'll sell for like $300.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, it fits like the aesthetic of this room. Like I would drop a pretty penny on something cool like that to like fit the vibe of your collection.
I was obsessed with Fred. And yeah. my t-shirt is literally like from Hot Topic. I'm so grateful that my parents got me a That's super funny. Large size that was way too big on me because I can still wear it.
Yes. I love that.
I love Fred.
Yeah. I was into, I mean, the annoying, like chatty YouTube, like
annoying orange.
That was my thing. I loved like the really annoying stuff.
Did you watch Shane Dawson?
Yeah, I did a little bit.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just like got that energy from you. But,
which is a good thing back then.
Well, I don't know. I watched way too much Shane Dawson at way too young of an age. So
Oh my goodness.
So when you kind of started getting into this, like, you really liked looking into like abandoned places.
Yeah, urbexing, yes. Urban exploring. Yeah.
Yes, yes. Which honestly, I think Dale's literally nodding his head. Dale's about to graduate and he wants to like go to some really cool places. Do you have any like cool places for him to hit up? Like cool cities, I guess.
There's definitely a couple like abandoned ghost towns I feel like I've seen online. A lot of them sounds right up his alley. Like a whole ghost town. Like people like just left their house, like, and there's like 20 houses in a neighborhood. I really want to go to one of those. There's a lot of abandoned places in Northeast, like in, mm-hmm. well, not all in Jersey, but in New York, a ton, in Pennsylvania, a ton. So that's where I would explore there. I stopped doing it when I moved to LA because mm-hmm. It was hard to access any of these places. The accessibility was just not there because mm-hmm. the police were always monitoring it. It's mm-hmm. a major city. Like, you can't sneak around.
Yeah.
Which is so sad that I hadn't done it in a long time. But I recently met somebody at a show who really loves urbexing too. And we want to try to get it going back again in Nashville or like around Nashville. So,
oh my goodness.
Might need to make that happen. I don't know if I would vlog the series like I used mm-hmm. to, because like I dedicated like my life to that, like mm-hmm. I would edit them and I would put them up and everything, but I wish I would have time to do something like that. Like maybe it'll make a revival, but yeah. I'm not sure.
Was music always the goal, or was like in that period where you're like, I want to be a YouTuber, or was it like, no, I eventually want to get into music, or were you just like, I don't even know what I want to do?
Music was always the goal, okay. like from the get-go, mm-hmm. but I had a big passion for like just creating content in mm-hmm. general. And because I was so obsessed with YouTube, I knew I could do that too.
Yeah.
I wasn't trying to become a famous YouTuber. I would like vlog my experiences every once in a while. Like mm-hmm. the first time I was in LA before I moved there, I did a series called Leah in LA and I actually privated it. So it's not on my account anymore because I don't know, I can go back and watch them for the memes, but like yeah. I don't think it's my best work. But I was like really getting into that, and part of it like was this a studio session, like I was recording on my camera, like me in the studio, like mm-hmm. recording my first single, Stay Right, and it kind of all started there. But I don't know, I had a nice camera, like I had been keeping up with like buying good gear, and then that camera, like the flash broke. So I stopped using it. And then I realized like phones are getting better than like some of these cameras, and my gear was starting to become outdated and I just didn't keep up with it. And then yeah. I changed like my entire like shift was like, well, for a while it was having a career and like, you know, a full-time
right.
job. Like as I was in college, like what was I going to move to LA and do?
Right.
But on the back burner, but like next up in line was always music. So I was always going to do that, but I never knew how quickly I'd get to the capacity I'm at now.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. Okay. I have one more question about YouTube, but we're going to take a quick break before we do that.
Thank you once again for listening to Successfully Unsigned. I would like to take a moment during this break to remind you to visit our website at su-podcast.com to view all of the newest and latest content that we put out. Also, do us a huge favor and hit like and subscribe on this YouTube video, and like and rate us on your favorite streaming platform. Each one of those things helps us out tremendously. We would love to hear your thoughts on what artists we should have on next, what content we should cover, what kind of topics we should discuss, and any tips and tricks you might have in the music industry. Thank you for being one of our favorite listeners, and enjoy the rest of the show.
I do have one more question about YouTube. Actually, you just mentioned it during our break. If you're okay talking about this.
Okay.
So you did a whole video that kind of, I think it kind of went viral, about you being adopted and you finding your biological brother.
Yeah.
So can you like talk about that a little bit, or is there anything to talk about? Like, do you guys still keep in touch?
Yeah. I guess at that time I had to be, I forget how old I was, but I knew the search, like I could have been searching for my biological family, like as long as I'd wanted to. But once I turned 18, I had the right to some information.
Gotcha.
And I was able to get some information from like child services. I guess like the one that I was specifically looking for him. So in his mm-hmm. area, but I was able to like get medical records and stuff, which I had never had before, but that mm-hmm. was, so that was cool. But, I don't know, after like turning 20, 21, I started like on a search for him. I finally found Jesse on Facebook, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And we started like building like a close relationship as siblings, like throughout the years. We've had our ups and downs. I got to visit him and like, cause he lived in California. He lives in California. He's lived there for a long time. So mm-hmm. I was able to drive. He lived north. So I would drive like 5 hours to see him and, mm-hmm. His sister, who's like, our blood biological cousin. So it was cool. Cause I was like, oh, I get to meet more family and stay with them. And you know, his own personality and he's a piece of work, but we've gotten pretty close throughout yeah. the years. And I actually got to hang out with him before I left LA. We went to an emo night together and that was like the best bonding experience. Cause I
That's
think
so fun.
Starting our relationship, it was really tough to get along and like, just we have a lot of differences and our lives are very different. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, there's a lot of troubling things and trauma just to deal with like, you know, all of that and mm-hmm. learning new things and whatnot. Yeah. So, you know, he's grown up, I've grown up. And like the emo night thing was just like, such a vibe. Like we were just hanging out yeah, all night. Like yeah. we were like outside, like at 3 a.m. with like my friends, just like talking and vibing. And, that was like, I think the best time. Like he bust down and like, he stayed with me and my roommate and we all had such a great time. So that was like a really special moment for me. We keep in touch. It's definitely hard. He has his own life. Like obviously I have my own life. That's the biggest thing is like, learning about someone you are like blood related to, like who shares most of your DNA mm-hmm. and like having similarities, but living completely different lives for yeah. your entire life until this moment. I have other siblings I've talked to. I won't go too into that just because they're like the rest of my family is like, those are developing relationships that mm-hmm. I'm currently working on. But like my little brother was like a priority, I guess, of mine from the get go. Cause I was like, all right, I know things were crazy before me, but like, what happened after me? Because like mm-hmm. I was saved from a crazy life, but like,
okay.
was he and not entirely, you know? So mm-hmm. it's, everyone was in a different spot and I'm very fortunate to.
How much younger is he than you?
He's I think two or three okay. years. Yeah. I think he's like your age.
Okay.
So
gotcha.
Yeah. I mean, we have all my siblings are within that. I think we're like three, and three or something. I have three siblings. So gotcha. We're all like 20s and 30s.
I got you. Okay. Very interesting. I just yeah. I want to touch on that because I remember like watching that video. I literally like low-key got choked up. I was like, dang.
I know.
This is crazy.
That video was actually also a part of my senior thesis for okay. college.
That makes sense. Yeah.
And I did like a whole music supervision thing. So I was picking the songs back when like YouTube wasn't as weird about copyrighted content. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I didn't monetize the video. I should have. I got right, a lot right. of views on that, but I use other people's music. And so yeah. the point of that is like, you know, I got to pick the songs that felt the best, like moving throughout mm-hmm. the whole video. And so it was an art project for me, but it was also like sharing a part of my life that I wish I talked about more. Like I wish I had, I don't know. I think like it's really cool. You probably have seen some of the podcasts. Like I talked to a couple people like that are the podcast hosts that are also adopted mm-hmm. and we like straight off the bat, like we get each other. Like we were right on that. So that those moments are really cool too. But yeah. I need to like talk about it more. It's
yeah.
It's important. It's a huge part of my life. And
yeah.
Like it,
yeah. Well, I remember I had an old coworker and she was adopted and she found one of her, I don't know if it was her siblings or I think it was one of her biological siblings through like 23andMe. And she was just like, it was just not quite the experience I expected. And I think maybe hers was a little more negative.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. It's very, very interesting.
It's, I also always give the advice of don't expect like fireworks and amazing yeah. like bonding right off the bat, because that's none of my
yeah.
sibling relationships that I've had were that. They were heavy, they were intense, they were political, like they were a lot, like it's yeah. a lot of emotions and feelings and thoughts coming from like every
yeah I mean place. At the end of the day, like they are a stranger,
yeah,
and it's, I don't know, like, I mean, I can't speak on it, but I thought the video was really, really interesting.
Thanks.
So, okay. So shortly after that is when you moved to LA, correct?
Yeah, I guess I was still in college when that happened, but I was, it was weird. I lived in LA, 2016 to 2023. And I was living in LA.
You lived there a long time.
7 years. Yeah.
I did not realize that.
Well, I was living there. I was living bi-coastal because I was living at college. And then when I wasn't at college, I was living in LA. Okay. So I was there for like a couple months out of the year when I was in school. And then I officially moved there in 2018. So
still, yeah, that's a long time. Yeah. Do you miss it?
Yes.
Yeah.
I went back in
I get that vibe.
January and I like cried to everybody I saw. And I was like, crap.
Yeah. Like from the little bit I've talked to you and just some of the things I've seen about you, I was like, she seems like she wants to go back. Would you move back?
If I could afford it, I would, but fair. I just don't see it. Like with all the money and like stuff I'm putting into my music right now, it's just not, it's not practical. Like if something popped and I was able to like pay the rent that I paid there, like yeah. I would probably do it in a heartbeat, but right now it's like cheaper to save up and take a flight and have a bunch of moments with the people I miss yeah. and then come back. And yeah, but I didn't realize how much I loved it until I guess I left it. I mean, I knew I was like, I always was like, I want to live in LA. Like that was always like my dream was like younger when I was growing up and stuff. But
you watch those YouTubers, you really want to live in LA. Like all, like I remember being like, oh my gosh, I want to go to LA. I want to go to, what VidCon, like all this stuff, like all kinds of stuff.
Oh my God. I worked at VidCon one time.
I can see that. That's crazy.
So cool to be behind the scenes with all like, the celebrities and stuff.
Did you get to meet like some of your favorite YouTubers?
No, because I was working. Like I was literally like, my 9-to-5 job had like a job there. So I was just with them, but I did like walk around and see people and I was like, oh, that's so cool. It was a little bit past my time. I mean, everyone was way younger and I was,
is VidCon still going?
I don't know. I did the one in, I think it was 2019.
Okay.
It was before the pandemic. So
yeah. Yeah.
Maybe it's not, I don't know if it's still happening.
I wish I would have gone to TanaCon.
I was just thinking that you like read my mind. I was like, is TanaCon still happening?
No, but no, like, oh my goodness. Tana Mojo, shout out to you, girl. Come on the podcast. Okay. So what brought you to Nashville then? Like just music pretty much?
Music. I was like kind of in this grind in LA that I felt like I couldn't escape. Turns out it wasn't like I'm doing that here. So moving didn't solve my problems that I thought I had. Fun fact. But yeah, I mean, for music opportunities, my producer that I worked on, my EP, and then this next record, most of the songs on that record, he lives here. Mm-hmm. So it was really cool to just be like, I remember the first day I drove up to his place and he's like, wow, it's so weird that you drove your own car to my house. And I'm like, I know, I'm usually like taking an Uber. My friend's driving me. But
yeah, we'll talk about him a little bit. So you're a big beach girl, right? Because I mean, you grew up around the beach.
Yes. Where's the beach here? There's no beach. Like,
Where's the beach? Where's the beach? Yeah, I was going to ask about that because I'm like, oh, you're a big beach girl. And I love the beach too. I didn't grow up around the beach, so I'm used to it. But the next place I live, I want to be near a beach. But yeah, girl, the closest one's like 8 hours.
When I'm telling you, I lived in a beach town my entire life. I guess college, technically those 4 years of college or 5 years, I did 5 years of college. I wasn't living at the beach, but like every other time I was near a beach. And so I mean, that's a privilege to even say, but so I'm very grateful for that, but not having it around and like just the vibes are different just to not be near a beach. Like it's so different.
Do you like Nashville? No,
I haven't found my place here yet.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not loving it. That's kind of what I've been feeling, but I made a lot of awesome friends.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I go to a show, it's like the best reunion in the world. And LA felt like that too. When you go to shows in that, in alternative genre, everyone shows up and it feels like a big party. And I love that. That's a great feeling. That's kind of why I moved here. I felt like I was like, well, I get that all the time, but no, now I'm in the grind again and I'm like stuck in my cycle and you know, it's hard, but I think I also just don't live in a very central area to where a lot of things are happening. So I find it hard to get out there and like attend things that where I can maybe meet new people in the music scene.
I feel you. I feel you. I will say this, like, just since we've been doing this podcast, me trying to go to more local shows and trying to get more involved in the music community, like, realizing how everyone's really nice in the Nashville community, at least. And everyone's really supportive of each other. Yeah. And
they're like, all doing it. They're all in it and they get it.
Yes. Yeah. And like, we're starting to run into a lot of people that we know at local shows. Like, we went to one show when I was like, oh my gosh, we know this person. We know this person. We know this person.
Yeah.
And David recently played a show and we had like 9 people who were associated with our podcast in one way or another who were there. Either
awesome.
to support in one way or another, whether it was to play in his band or to just come and see him. And so it's really special in that way. But I definitely can see like how it's I've never been to LA, but I can imagine it is very different here.
Yeah.
Very different.
It's very, very different. In a sense, it's kind of similar, like just the people doing music, kind of like trying to make it, that whole like thing is pretty similar in both places. But yeah, it's really nice to run into people, but I wish I could see these people all the time.
Yes.
And I don't even know if I guess I was attending more shows in LA. I had like a niche music community that I'd always see for years and it felt great. The emo nights there are massive. The emo night Nashville's here are super, super cool too, but they don't happen as often. And like emo night LA was like selling out every time and you always run into homies, but like emo night Nashville happens every 3 months if we're lucky. And like, you know, so it's just harder to see people on a day-to-day basis. And I haven't really like made a friend group here. Whereas like I left my friend group in LA and like I went back and I was like, oh man, like nobody gets me like you guys. So
yeah, girl, hard. Hit me up anytime. I'm always down to hang out.
I know. I will.
Yeah. So when you moved to LA, you kind of start getting into music and you, right? Or did you get into it before? Like making your own?
I was writing for a long time, but then I got into a cappella, and while I was in my a cappella group and as a music major, I was writing like a song a year and I would actually utilize like Twisted Measure, my friends in that group, to like sing the gang vocals on my stuff. Yeah. And so they're on a couple of really early pop tracks or whatever. But I don't know. I mean, I moved to LA and I worked in the entertainment industry. So like the film and like social media industry for like 2-3 years before the pandemic happened. And then I was like, I don't know. I was just writing music and I was like, okay, maybe I can just do this a little bit more. I started streaming on YouNow. That's how I existed during the pandemic. That was my career, which was awesome. I met a lot of fans and friends through that. We'd just hang out, share music. I'd talk about like writing, play some songs. Like, I don't know. It was really, really cool.
YouNow. Oh.
I know. Well, it was still really popular. Yeah. And then I was partnered with them. So that was like a really cool experience. My other friend who's a YouTuber got me into that. So yeah, I was doing that. And then I was like writing more. And then I started to like release a few songs. And then I just started like shifting all my time to music because I got laid off my full-time job. And I was like, well, I got to do something other than play Animal Crossing all during all these hours. So I started doing music for like, I don't know, most of my time and like running a business. And then it started picking up a little bit. And then, yeah, I started like getting really into like the alternative stuff. And
Yeah. So you kind of started out more like pop, alt pop. Was the
pop,
goal?
Pop for sure. Was
pop,
like,
pop. Okay.
Yeah. I was like doing pop 100%. Okay. I was really into like California beach pop. I had this playlist that I still have that has a lot of likes on it. And there was like a certain surf vibe with like synth pop, surf, like rock that I really loved. And I did that.
So you liked starting out that way?
I mean, I did at the time. Yeah. I feel like I would never go back after doing what I do now.
What was your goal eventually to kind of phase into more of the pop punk?
It wasn't like 100%. I think I did a really good job slowly, gradually getting there, because there's a lot of stories of someone doing pop and then completely switching to pop punk, or like vice versa. Just like hard shifting is always a difficult thing to do because you don't know how the people that followed you before are going to react and how your peers are going to react. But I slowly went from like pop, like synthie pop to like alt pop. And I had like more of the guitars slowly creep their way in. And then I got into like the Happy Never Ending stuff, which I still love. But now I listen back to it. Like I literally still love it. But I listen back and I was like, oh man, I can't wait for these next ones, because it's like that. But it's like if I fully put my entire self into it, you know, into that genre.
Okay. So, okay. Yeah. So. Yeah, it was just so interesting to kind of see. Well, I mean, obviously I wasn't there live for it, but it like just even going through your discography and just even the album art and kind of seeing the transition. And so it's really cool that you've been able to do that. And I feel like it definitely suits you a lot more to just be pop punk. I mean, that's the only way that I know you. But at the same time, like you're really good at it.
Thank you.
It works really well. Would you ever do a pop punk cover of one of your old songs, like pop songs?
I really wanted to do like a metal cover of Hawaii, where I had like someone scream on it.
I love that so much.
I don't think it will happen. Because I want to like take all my energy and like my ideas to like new ideas. Mm-hmm. But I have thought about it for sure. That would be fun. But those songs are... they're dated. They're from when I made them, and mm-hmm. that's cool. And they were from when I was learning how to sound like a good artist and how to be a well-rounded artist. Mm-hmm. And they're just, grown.
And honestly, I think for the time that you were making those, that kind of music was like, I mean, it was doing really well.
It was
like definitely for a time, but you know, emo's back. Pop punk is back and you're here in the thick of it. And I'm so excited for you.
Yeah. It's back like mainstream now,
yes.
But it like never left like what I would listen to.
Yeah.
Like A Lesson in Romantics is on my heavy rotation, like most of my life. Like that's just an album, Mayday Parade album that I just like absolutely love and won't ever get tired of. But yeah, I was like in middle school, like that's all I listened to. And I listened to a lot of like the synth inspired pop punk stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I'm excited that that's going to be coming into my music more.
So you describe yourself as neon pop punk. Can you kind of explain what that means?
Yes. So it was a term used like back in that time where like the scene, like neon colors and like the pop punk scene crossover with like 303, even like Kesha throwing in there a little bit, mm-hmm. like just some of that like party rowdy with an alternative twist type of music. And then there's like Forever the Sickest Kids. Like there's other genre, like other artists in that genre that like lean heavier on the guitar side and like mm-hmm. the alternative side. But there was a time where people called it neon pop punk. And to me, I mean, I think this is what it means. You can define it. There's like subreddits about it and stuff like that, but it's not talked about anymore. So I'm like kind of grabbing that and be like, that's what I used to listen to. Like, that's going to be my thing now. But it's like emo music that sounds really pop, like that sounds really like upbeat and happy, mm-hmm. but like the lyrics don't have to be. They can be super depressing and sad and heavy, but like the music makes you want to bounce around. There's mm-hmm. like a lot of techno and like synth elements that are in it that kind of like overlie. I don't know. And that to me is like the bright neon colors and like everyone's like emo is dark and we all wear black, but I'm like, I've always been into colors and I've always been into like neon colors.
Yes.
And
it fits you so well.
Yeah.
It fits you so like when I first saw you use that term or when I was kind of doing some research, I was like, I don't know exactly what that means, but it fits her.
Yes, exactly. If you don't know, it's like, I'm trying to make that mine now, you know, cause that's what I loved like listening to growing up. And I mean,
Like in the hair and stuff, which can I ask like why specifically blue and green? Do you just love those colors?
No, that's not why at all. My hair was fully blue for like 3 or 4 years.
Okay. Yeah.
Like a full head of blue. Most of the time I lived in LA and then the pandemic happened and I was like, I don't want to pay money to get my hair upkept. Well, first of all, I couldn't really because we couldn't really go anywhere. Mm-hmm. I wasn't about to bleach my whole head. So I decided to once like I was able to go to a salon and get my money pieces done.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just like we put the regular color back in my hair. And then there was like one moment. I don't remember what like the light switch was for me to do blue and green. But I was like, I kind of want another color. Like, what if I added a different color to the other side of my hair And I told my one friend who did hair, and he was like, I don't know. Green doesn't really like stay well. Like, I probably won't like look that good on you. And then I did it, and I'm like, well, now it's my entire personality. So I'm really glad I didn't listen. Like, great friend. I love this person. But I'm just glad I didn't listen to that advice, because now I feel like it's just so much of who I am.
Yeah. And like, it makes your, I don't know, it just, it makes a statement about you, and like, it's, it makes you easy to recognize.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is so weird. This is so weird, y'all. But I literally messaged her one time, and I was like, this is so random, but I just had a dream about you. And I literally like had a whole dream where like I was trying to get into her concert. But it was like this all white room, but everyone was had their hair blue and green. I'm not even kidding. And you were like, you literally had like your own mini museum down toward the stage of like all your past outfits and stuff like that.
I would do that. It was
insane. It was very, very weird. But I was like, period. Like, I'm manifesting that you get so big that everyone just starts dyeing their hair blue and green.
Doing that. That's so funny. I mean, hey, if it sticks in people's brains.
It does.
I'm not afraid of like when I'm meeting someone for the first time, I know they'll notice me because unless everyone in the room had blue and green hair, like I'm pretty recognizable, which is a good thing that I like to use, you know?
Very much so. Okay. I do want to talk more about your, kind of how your aesthetic has changed, but we're going to take one more break, or maybe second to last one. We'll see.
Thank you for watching this clip of Successfully Unsigned. If you want to see more content like this in the future, please hit that like and subscribe. Also, don't forget to find us on social media platforms at successfully_unsigned or on our website at su-podcast.com.
Oh, we got a little audience cheering. Thank you. Welcome back to Successfully Unsigned with a live audience. Technically. Okay, so you were talking about your producer who lives here, right? Mm-hmm. And so Chase Coy, mm-hmm. who you have said that you like grew up listening to him, which is really cool. And it kind of sounds like obviously, I feel like every podcast is like, so you got to work with Kellen Quinn. So, which I mean, yeah, like that's huge. Like really, really cool.
Yeah.
But I feel like there have been some other big artists too that have kind of reached out to you. Like, what is that like? Is it like really surreal to be working with these people that you grew up listening to?
Yeah, it keeps the more music I keep making and the more connections I keep making and shows I'm doing, it keeps happening. And it keeps blowing my mind.
So much.
Like, even in the past 2 months, like I got to meet and work with like some incredible people that I never in a million years would have thought would have happened. So really crazy, really weird. Super exciting though. And every experience I've had has been phenomenal, and everyone's so kind and supportive. I think that's what the coolest part is like, you see these artists that are a little bit older and they kind of had their big moment when I was growing up listening to music, but they're not that much older than me. And they are like looking to support mm-hmm. artists that are starting mm-hmm. to do this. And that's so cool.
Yeah.
And I can only hope that like when I'm older down the line that I do that too. Like I would, you know, it's just a cool thing.
Well, especially Chase too, cause like you have such a close relationship with him. And so it's like you know, telling your younger self being like, hey, you're going to be like best friends with this dude, or like you're going to work extremely close with him.
Well, I think about this one Instagram post that like I made of like Party City. My mom, I was like in middle school. I don't know. No, I wasn't in middle school. I had to have been like right early high school, because Instagram came out then. And it was like one of the like first like 20 to 50 posts, whatever I made. And it was like the Party City wall of like the streamers down it. My mom had to go pick up something for like an event. And I was like listening to Chase Coy and like quoted it, like, who's to say things are better this way. And I was like emo in the car, just like that was my caption. And I was like sitting in the passenger seat, like literally just listening to his stuff. And I like think of that all the time, because I think if I was like, again, it's so weird because he's one of my best friends.
Yeah.
But like as a kid, I don't know, like if I would have found that out, that like that was what I was going to be doing, is like working with like people I listened to growing up, like I would lose my mind.
Yeah. If I was him, I would have such a big head about that. I'd be like, you posted on Instagram about me. You quoted me in your old Instagram.
I feel like that's something he would say too. He'd be like,
I love that so much.
That's funny.
Okay. So such a random question, but you have a Cameo? That is bougie.
I do because I got invited to it, but I don't really use it.
Also, hit her up on Cameo.
Yeah, please. It's like $5 for one. Well, there was a point, it hasn't happened in like months, but there was a point like for the past couple of years where like young fans would ask me for a video for their friend. And okay. I would do them all and I would never think to like charge anyone because I don't know. It just sounds silly. Like, oh, you got to pay me first for like, no, it's so silly. But I was like, if people really want this, like maybe I will make a Cameo, but by no means am I Cameo worthy. Like I just kind of did it like to have it. There was like a like punk rock flea market thing happening in California that had me make one for it too. And like, I don't know. That's I guess so cool. They must have like asked a bunch of artists, but I was like that type of stuff's awesome. So
yeah,
you never know like who's going to be stumbling on it and they might like see my page and
yeah,
you know, I made like $10 from it, whatever. Like,
hey, well, you know what? Something. I haven't heard anyone else talk about it. So I was like, I'm going to bring it up. Get your bag.
Yeah.
You know, hit her up on Cameo. If you need any videos, she'll say whatever you want.
Yes. Maybe.
Okay. So I also want to talk about, well, actually, Let's do this one first.
Okay.
So, no, never mind. I have lots of questions. I told you.
That's great.
Okay, so.
I literally thought that was outside. I hear thunder and like chirping. I'm like, what's happening?
So, you know, you already did your one transition from pop into pop punk. And you just recently went through another transition because your old artist name used to be Leah. L, like capital L space, capital E space, capital A space. And you recently changed it to LOL, it's Leah. Can you kind of talk about that decision in the process?
Yeah. My Google SEO is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
At the time when I picked that artist name, it was like cool to have, you know, like Arizona has all capital letters and all spaces. Like when the indie pop thing was like really popping off, like 2016, when I was doing the same thing, L space, E space, A was awesome. I mean, I started actually with Leah with my name, just LEA, like just my first name.
Mm-hmm.
And like, there wasn't that many people on Spotify with that name. And then I did L space, E space, A. And see how annoying it is to just even say it every time. Yeah. And I did that. And then there were only two other artists, two on Spotify that had it like that. And there was an artist and she's very famous. And I think she's a German artist, Leah, and she puts the letters together. And so I couldn't do that anymore. And then the other two artists, like, I just asked them, I was like, hey, they weren't as active anymore. And I got the name for myself. But then things like social media just kept growing and people like releasing music was the most accessible that it's ever been. And obviously it still continues to be that. It's just so much harder to find my stuff. And I was just like sitting on my couch. I think I was like in Jersey actually, like during a Christmas break or something. And I was like, I can't do this anymore. I'm so tired of like no one being able to look me up. Like I texted like four or five of like people in the music industry that I really trust their advice on. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I know this isn't like the biggest thing ever, but like, what do you think of me changing my name? And most people were like, yeah, I think you need to, or like someone, my publicist was just like, as someone who had to pitch you to press outlets, it was very hard to find your name on sites and stuff like that. And I was like, that's it. That's the reason, like, I need to change it now. And I wanted to keep my name in my name. Like, it just felt the most me. I mean, a band name would be cool, but I feel like I would have sat on it forever. Nothing would have felt right. I would have regretted it. And LOL, it's Leah was my username since social media was a thing.
Your like, little reel that you did, like kind of to announce it, was so good.
Ah,
so
thank you.
So well put together.
That was fun to make. Yeah, that was like my digital footprint. Like you can look me up from 10 years ago and find stuff under that name.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I was like, people already, like my friends, like at shows would be like, LOL, it's Leah, like as a joke because it's my username.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I guess I really got to like lean into this. And that was the only option I had. I asked my bandmate Tyler, and he was like always advocating for me to change it to LOL It's Leah. Yeah. And he's like, that sounds so cool. It'll look awesome on everything. It sounds like your it style. Is really cool. I'm glad. I honestly, I'm still at that stage where I'm like, it is me, but it feels, I see all these other artists and they're really cool band names. And I'm like, I'm just like the dork, LOL It's Leah. But like,
no, it's fits, so funny.
I guess.
And it really fits, I feel like, with the whole like neon pop punk where it's like,
yeah,
you're not like, I don't know. I don't want to say you're not taking yourself too seriously, but like, it's to show like my music is a good time.
Yeah.
Like I'm here to have fun.
That's exactly. And I do want that energy. And then I think that you make a really good point because I don't know. Now I'm like, well, there's some songs that are more serious that I'm going to release or just and LOL It's Leah kind of looks like a goofy little name, but I mean, it's the best associated with me and most of the time it's very easy to find me anywhere if you search it, which is a win in my book.
Do you feel like the last of Pop Leah died off with the name change?
I feel like, I mean, I've...
Was that like, okay, this is it? Like, we are fully in this now?
Yes and no. It felt like I was pushing towards something cooler and better. Mm-hmm. But because I've been such, and like, I'm so adamant about like always being myself and being genuine to who I am and what I make, like it's okay to like have the process change. And I mm-hmm. still feel like there are moments of me from that time that still show up in my music today. So I don't know. Yes and no. I think it was a weight off my shoulders because like when the change happened, things just became easier for me after that, which was awesome.
I really like it. I think it's very fitting. And
thank you.
It is just honestly easier to type easier to just, so like every time when I would, because when actually this tells you how long this has been in the works. When we were talking to each other, you were still L space, E space, A space, A. And so I would be like, hey guys, this artist, L space, E space, A space would come on.
Like it's so silly. Yeah. Like, I don't know. Now that I think of it, I'm like, I mean, whatever. It's still my name.
For your old music and like I said, the time, I think it honestly was very fitting.
Yeah.
But I do agree. I think kind of as you've transitioned into this, you know, different music and as you are building up more and more of your career, getting more recognition, definitely like the name change was necessary before you got too big and it was like, whoa, now it's really going to be hard to change.
And that's what like my distributor was like, saying, or like my rep at my distributor, he was mm-hmm. like, I mean, just do it now if you're gonna do it. Like, if you, I don't know, don't wait for mm-hmm. numbers to go up and people to start recognizing you and then switching a curveball on them or whatever. So yeah, it was a good time. I mean either way, it's not too confusing because my name's still in it, so thankfully mm-hmm. I wasn't going through a drastic change. Honestly, if I was gonna change my whole entire band name, I probably would just start a fresh slate and release new music. Mm-hmm. But like, it was hard to do it. I think it would have made sense to do it before Happy Never Ending. It was hard to do it after Happy Never Ending because that's like the intro into mm-hmm. everything else mm-hmm. that's coming.
And I just want to clarify, it's LOL It's Leah, right? Not LOL It's Leah.
I don't care. Someone asked me that the other day. I don't actually care how people say it.
Okay, because I've heard both ways.
Yeah.
From you, but then I was like, okay, well, she's saying LOL It's Leah.
LOL It's Leah because like I've always. I mean, it's also. I mean, I'll say this. It's like my spam email. So like when I go to the doctors, I'm like LOLITS. So I'm like spelling it out, and I'm like LOL It's Leah. So that's just how I've always said it.
Yeah.
But I don't. The only thing that would make me mad is if someone pronounced my name wrong. I mean, I'm not like mad, but like that's the thing. I'm like, no, LOL, let's make sure. Leah. Like make sure I get that. Like something, you got to get that right. Like not LOL It's Lee, not Leah. Like. Yeah, that's like the one thing. But otherwise, like LOL is laugh out loud. Like say it however you want to.
Okay, so let's get into Show and Yell. We don't have your item, but we're going to put it up on screen. That's okay. you can pick from one of the many items I have here, whatever, whatever works. But what's your item? We do Show and Yell. So you don't have to like scream your head off, but just be like, notebook.
Well, I had, okay. I had one that I was, sorry, I never could pick one answer. I had one that I was going to actually bring.
Mm-hmm.
And then I read the email again and I was like, I was literally at a coffee shop and I was like, oh my goodness, I forgot. So I had one that I wanted to bring, but then I also had another one, which could be really funny. And obviously I couldn't bring it because of what it is. So okay. I could share both, but also I feel like I'm already yelling as well. So I'm like already so loud. So even if I say it, I would say either cat, my cat.
Cat.
Cat. My cat Bear. All the animals. So cute. Or I was gonna bring my.
We'll insert a picture.
Yes, but I was also thinking of bringing my Switch.
Switch. You should have told me I have a Switch. We could have just pretended.
No, because I have not. It's an OLED version, but I also have custom Joy-Cons.
Oh,
and I paid a lot of money
for them.
Are
they blue and green?
Off Etsy. No, they do make the regular blue and green one though.
Okay.
Like they make that. Nintendo makes that, which I should do. That would be really cool. Mm-hmm. But they're like a really, really bright blue and green. That's almost like it's like playing my Switch is a relaxing time. I feel like staring at bright colors that, like, I don't know, maybe that's how people feel about me. Like, this is a little much when I'm looking at you, but I feel like staring at like the bright color Joy-Cons might be a little too, like, you know, give me a headache. So I have these really nice see-through, like,
ooh,
orange, and then my Animal Crossing fruit is a peach.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have the peach covers for my Joy-Con.
That's so cute.
So they're themed. It's perfect.
Is Animal Crossing like your go-to game?
No. I probably the game I played the most. I have the most hours on. Mm. But no, I mean I grew up loving it, but I play a lot of like third-party games. Like I really like Night School has a bunch of games like Oxenfree and like After Party are like really cool ones that I like. I recently have been obsessed with Bugsnax. If you've ever heard of it, it's like the best game I've ever played. I want like a Bugsnax tattoo. I have it on vinyl. Like,
oh my goodness.
I love it. Just the story, the music, like it absolutely like changed my life. But then I also like Stardew Valley. I haven't beaten Breath of the Wild, so I have not picked up Tears of the Kingdom, and I probably won't for a very long time just because I want to beat Breath of the Wild first, but I'm really scared of getting closer.
Mm-hmm.
To Hyrule as I get, because the guardians, the big scary, what are they called? Is that what they are? The robots, the big ones. I hate them. The music for those is like the equivalent. I don't know if you ever played Sims 2 on the DS, but when the aliens come to town, like the scariest sound ever. That's how they make me feel. So I have not beat Breath of the Wild.
Are you gonna play the new Peach game? I love Princess Peach.
I want to, but I love Yoshi, and I played Yoshi's mm-hmm. World my entire like growing up, and I did not like the one for the Switch. It mm-hmm. felt like a child's game, and I know I was a child when I was playing it, but a lot of Mario games don't feel that way. Like Super Mario Odyssey feels like anyone
game.
Can play it.
In the song, I love that song so much.
Oh my goodness. New Donk City?
Yeah.
That's like,
yeah.
I like fixated.
Off the rails.
I fixated on New Donk City for so long. I would just like scream it at my roommate during the pandemic. I'm like,
we need a pop punk version of that song. That's what we need. An LOL It's Leah New Donk City pop punk version.
Oh my gosh.
That would eat.
I don't know. They did a really good job in Luigi's Mansion. Like that was too scary mm-hmm. for me as a kid. I really enjoyed it recently. That was so fun. But I'm really scared that the new Princess Peach game is going to be as childish. Even the WarioWare, there's a new one that's out that I need to buy that I had no idea mm-hmm. was out. But I had the one, I think it's Get It Together for mm-hmm. the Switch. And it was fun, but it was really easy. And it still mm-hmm. felt really childish. And like,
that's how the Pokemon games are. Like they used to be like difficult. And now like, you can finish them really quickly.
But it's like, is it because I'm older or is it because like I know they're trying to cater to children.
Yeah.
Which like I had a whole thing about Super Nintendo World and going there.
I know.
And, like,
I watched that today.
It was like, it was really fun, but a lot of it was like meant for a child.
Yeah.
I was like, but all the adults are going here. Like, come on.
We're the ones who got the money.
You gotta do so. Like Rainbow Road was so sad. Like I thought it would be way cooler.
Yeah.
The line, the queue, the like to get on the ride was cooler. And I mean, it was amazing. It was beautiful. Yeah. It was incredibly made, but like, Yeah, they're just they need to cater to everybody, like even the adults that kind of grew up on it. You know,
I really love Princess Peach, and I like the DS game that they came out with years ago.
A while ago, right? Which one was it?
I mean, it was probably like 2012. Oh, I forget. Super Princess Peach or something.
I might have played it then.
But I actually started playing that during COVID. It was like one of my only online purchases, actually. And I just like bought it for like $12 on eBay or something.
Nice.
And 2005?
That one specifically?
You're kidding. What? I feel like I remember commercials for that.
Could they have had another version that was like a newer version?
I don't
know.
Oh my goodness.
I'm pretty sure that was the one I played. I mean, I know Princess Peach is pink, but isn't like the cover pink? Like, yeah. I remember like the cartridge specifically. Is it? Or is it blue?
Oh, wait. Blue, I think maybe it is pink, blue with
little pink. With her little like little pink person.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's blue. Yeah, it's blue.
I
pink.
Love. Oh, yeah, my goodness.
That's the 2005. One. Is that the one you played?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, that one was so good.
Yeah.
So is this comparable?
I haven't played it. Oh. I want to play it, but out? Here's the thing. Yes, yeah. I think it just came out like literally last week.
Okay.
But here's the thing. I was talking to David about this. I am not a gamer. I love game culture. Like I literally will watch people play video games.
Yeah.
I follow like video game collectors. Obviously, I am a collector myself.
Yes.
And my brother loves video games. So I have a lot of like, I still have a ton of GameCube games like in here and just Wii games, DS games, all kinds of stuff. But I just don't play them as much, but
I don't actually either. I don't play them as much as I'd nearly like to.
Yeah,
I grew up with them, but like I love the lore of it. But I watch YouTube videos on it for hours.
Yes. And so David was like, you need to start a Twitch. Would you ever start a Twitch?
Probably not, because I don't have time to do anything.
Yeah.
So fair. I mean, if like I was trapped inside for another like 2 years, like maybe that would be a hobby I'd pick up. But yeah, unfortunately. No, I wish I had the time to play games. I also, I'm a very social person, and video games are the one thing, other than like running, I really like jogging. Video games are like the one thing that I can do by myself and like find peace in, just to like sit down and like dive into a world. And it's funny because even though it's like I'm alone and I'm playing the games, I still like feel like I'm in the game, like with so many people, like on the handheld game, like it's very mind stimulating. So I like that about it, but I don't play games too much with friends, I feel, but yeah.
Okay. Well, if you ever do, I'll watch it. Cause like I said, I like watching, I just don't really play as much just cause like I'm not good at them either. Like I'm really bad. Like I'm bad at all kinds
of games. It takes me a while to like get through some stuff that I feel like in Breath of the Wild, like I have to watch some tutorials to help me get through some moments. And I don't want to be online doing that.
This man, when he first moved here, he had the Spider-Man game and I tried
the new one?
Yeah, I tried playing. Well, not the new one.
Yeah.
But the old new one. And I tried playing and I died so many times. He's like, dude, this is like one of the easiest levels. I'm like, I can't. Especially like games that are like geared more toward adults. I'm like, I need the like Nintendo, children's games because I'm not good at any other games.
I feel the same way. I agree. I love watching it though. Like I think, was it on the PlayStation, The Last of Us, it just came out, the new one. Is that the one that I'm talking? Yeah. I was watching my old roommate from LA. I stay with him when I go and visit, and he was in the middle of that game and he was about to finish it. And I was so invested in the story. I was like, I fell asleep like watching him beat the game. He was like, I'm about to beat the game. And I'm like passing out on this like air mattress. And I'm like, I need to see what happens. Like that was fun. I love watching people play.
Yes,
how my cat, which is, she was named after, one of our horses in Red Dead 2.
Okay.
So I wasn't like actively playing on the controller most of the time. Like Mike would give me the controller and he'd say, you go like run into a saloon and do crazy stuff. And I would play and we would have fun with that. But he was playing most of the story and we had a horse and it was just like a random generated horse and the horse's name was Bear. And then we went through three horses during the game. And so there was like, or no, two horses. There was Bear the second. And then I got my cat in the middle of like when I moved to LA. And
okay.
Like, we didn't beat Red Dead yet. And I got my cat and I was like, I'm going to name her after our horse.
Oh.
And that was like, that's how I got her name. So she's named after
so she's
a
what,
Red Dead.
Like, seven?
I think she was six this year.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, wow.
Oh, she's cute. She sounds cute.
She's so cute. She's like diluted tortie. So she's like orange, gray, and white.
I'm allergic to cats. It's really sad.
That is sad.
Okay, so I'm excited because you have new music coming out pretty soon, at least based on like your Instagram. It sounds like, well, first off,
I'm like teasing it forever.
You have the Glitch Gum remix of I Guess I Like You Anyway coming out, which I'm so excited for that.
Yeah, it's, I gotta finish.
That is like neon pop punk. Yeah. Well, like very like leaning into the little reel you posted of you guys in the arcade. Obsessed.
Yeah.
But are you allowed to talk about any of your other new music coming out?
Yeah, I'm chill talking about it. I mean, there's no one telling me not to except myself. So it's up to me. But I have an eight song album coming up.
Oh, so, we got an album. I'm excited.
Yeah, that's in my bio.
Yes. Okay.
Yep. I'm like, you know everything, but the one thing is I posted the album in the bio. It's coming 2024. But yeah, it's going to be 8 songs. 1, 2, 3 songs, if I'm correct, have features.
Okay.
So, yeah. Yeah, 3 songs have features. Maybe there's multiple features on one song.
Ooh.
So there's more than 3 features. But yeah, I got to collaborate with multiple producers for the album. And honestly, I was going to release the first single last year and I had bulked up all this content for it and I was really excited. And then I realized like how many songs I started to work on and I was like, I'm going to just make an album and then I'm going to package it all up and get it all ready.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, some people on my team were advising me like have the whole thing ready before you start to release it because it'll just be easier on us and on you. Yeah. And I think it's a wise like financial decision on my part as well to like wait to release it. But essentially, yeah, they're almost all done. It's almost all ready. And
I'm so excited.
I'm like literally just waiting on the mix for a couple of them. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I haven't picked the date of starting to release, like roll out the releases, but.
How is this album going to be different than your previous EP?
I think in the confidence of this genre, like I start to sing stylistically a little bit closer to like what I hear and what I've heard growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess like there's other producers on it. So it's not just Chase on the album. There's other people that bring their ideas in, which is really exciting. So I think just having like a bunch of different hands on it, there's multiple mix engineers, like there's multiple producers, multiple song, like several songwriters. So just having all of that and new people's ideas all like in one place, I think it's perfect to come after Happy Never Ending, but I think there is going to be a noticeable, at least, I don't know. I think there's a noticeable growth.
I'm so excited.
In the sound.
I'm so excited. Yeah. Are any of these songs going to be featured in any future shows that are coming up?
Like, am I playing it next week?
Possibly. Which this podcast won't be out by the time that happens, but
so at the show, yeah, I've been actually playing one of my new songs for a long time. Mm-hmm. I've been playing it since like middle of last year live. So that's been fun. And then we're debuting another new one, which is the one that we're going to shoot the music video for.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I'll send it to you. I'll send it to you like after this, so you'll get to hear it. And then like if you wanted to learn the words and be that person to do it, like that would be cool. Just sing it back to me and in the video. It'd be really awesome to get some shots
I went to the show that I went to with her. She has a cover of Lollipop that you guys can go stream. And I was like kneeling down in front of her.
There's
and
we were seeing the lyrics.
Yes,
like
it's such a good photo. You can find it on our Instagram. And I like jumped up toward the end. I straight up like fell into someone behind
me.
And I was so embarrassed.
No, you were having a good time. It's kind of like,
he was like
partially moshing. Like,
don't come
to a show if you're not going to like, you know, the people aren't going to get excited around you.
So this will probably come out, I don't know, mid April or something. Are there any future shows beyond April 3rd that you have that you can promote?
Not yet.
Okay. Well, that's all right.
Nothing announced. Well, I don't know. I won't know because okay. I don't know yet.
Well, you guys can find out on her Instagram at LOL It's Leah. Yeah. Leah, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm so glad
much.
This finally happened.
Me too.
I'm so excited.
I can't believe we finally made it happen.
Yes. Yes. I love I'm excited to hang out with you. Okay, guys, go follow us at successfully_unsigned everywhere or successfullyunsigned everywhere. Go follow our TikTok, hit up our podcast, hit up our website, su-podcast.com. And we got a lot of fun things coming for you this season. So stay tuned.